Throughout history, and especially in the Catholic Church, art has a unique way of capturing our imagination, making our faith come alive, and lifting our thoughts to God. I'm Sarah Kinsey with Mater Dei Radio, and joining me this morning to speak about the power of art and beauty in our faith is Valerie Delgado. She is the artist behind the online shop Pax Valerie, and her artwork is featured on the Made for Heaven Lenten series, which is currently found on our Hail Mary Media app. Good morning, Valerie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, Valerie, I'm so excited to speak with you today, not only because of your wonderful artwork that's in the Made for Heaven series that's being released right now, but also just because I'm a fan and I have followed your work for many years now. I remember back in 2020 when I felt like just a lot of the beauty and the faith and community that we experienced, a lot of it happened virtually at that time. And I just remember starting to see your wonderful artwork pop up on Instagram and just how much joy and light that really brought to so many of us. So just a real honor to speak with you. Can you share a little bit about yourself and maybe how you got started into this beautiful ministry of being an artist?
So I am a Catholic artist and illustrator from Houston. Art wasn't something that I ever pictured myself doing full time. I actually didn't start falling in love with art until my early 20s when I was working as a youth minister. And I remember struggling with balancing serving the teens, serving my home parish, and still finding time to just rest and be.
Sure.
And I remember bringing that to prayer a lot and just asking God, Lord, how can I continue to serve you? That is where my desire is at, but how can I also just rest? Mm-hmm. And it was a summer day in Texas, which is always hot,
yeah.
that I felt that first little inkling desire to create, to paint something, even though I had never really painted before. So I drove to my local craft store. I bought all the supplies and then some, and started
awesome.
Watching YouTube videos on how to paint flowers and how to paint trees and butterflies and just little simple things. Mm-hmm. And what I found was, even though at the time I didn't really think I was that good at art, I felt so much peace in the process of just creating. And I really fell in love with that. So I started painting more and more, and I started doodling more and more until one day I decided to bring my journal to adoration. And I found myself wanting to draw my prayers and draw what I felt the Lord was saying to me. And that just opened the door for what I do now, which is Catholic art.
Uh-huh.
It's become a way for me and God to just converse with one another. I like to see it as our own little personal form of communication, because reflecting back now on my teen years and everything else, like I was never really a journaler. I could never quite write my thoughts down. And that's what we're encouraged to do when we go on retreats or go to an event. They say, oh, bring your journal.
Right.
Write, you know, whatever comes to mind. And I never could. I would write maybe one sentence and then forget about the journal altogether until the next event. So being able to just draw, doodle, whatever you want to call it,
right,
in moments of prayer, like that became my way of connecting to God even more. So I guess that's kind of how I fell in love with art and got to where I am today.
Wow. That's an incredible story. And I relate to that so much. I like art myself. I'm, you know, not especially talented, but it's always been fun for me. But I think there's so many of us that have that urge to create, and, you know, we're all called to create in some way, and we're participating in the creation of God. And I think so many of us, though, maybe at some point in our life, just maybe thought, well, I'm not good at it, so I shouldn't do it. Like, I shouldn't create something, whether it's like art or writing or music or a craft. Or a lot of us just think, well, I'm not good at it, or I'm not making a living at it, so I shouldn't do it. But it's actually, like you said, I love what you said about that became your way to communicate with God. And I do a little bit of that myself. Sometimes I write in adoration, but last week I was kind of doodling. I just was writing the same words over and over, and then I'd put little designs, and then I was drawing out some of the things that were happening in prayer. And I'm glad I'm not the only one that does that.
Yeah, I feel like we forget that the process is just as beautiful and sometimes even more important than the outcome. I mean, that was the part that I fell in love with. And even now, as I create a piece, my favorite part is just being in the middle of it, praying through it, drawing it. And then when it's done, I'm like, okay, I'm finished. What's next?
Right.
And then I just wait for that next piece to come to mind. And then again, it's the process that is just amazing. And sometimes a piece doesn't end up how I initially think it should. Mm-hmm. But again, the process of making it just makes it so much sweeter.
So when you're thinking of a new piece, is it really just coming from your prayer, or do you set out to say, oh, I want to draw this or paint this? Or is it kind of flowing just from the ideas that you are receiving in prayer?
I think like it really depends on the season. I'd say most of the time it does come from prayer, but I just remember in 2020 when the world was shutting down and I started drawing more and more, one, because I had more time, but two, there was just like so many feelings to process through. Like I felt the world just kind of falling apart. And the one thought that kept coming to mind was that we just need our mom. Like we need our mother. And so I started doing a lot of portraits of our Blessed Mother, focusing on the many different titles we've given her in the Catholic Church, focusing on the different apparitions and visions people have had of her. And just with the simple message of like, our world needs our mom. If I can draw and portray her in this very simple humanly way, like maybe we can relate to her and see like she's here and she's praying for us and she's rooting for us. And so in that instance, like part of it was prayer of just realizing we need our mom. But the other part was this like intention of, I want to just share her with the world. Now, more so, it is just random pieces that come to prayer. Whatever I feel God wants me to share with the world, like I'll do it. And it's usually something that'll remind us of Jesus's humanity. He was, you know, holy God and holy man. And just being able to see his humanity and relate to him and realize he is really truly here and he really truly loves us and died for us and is rooting for us.
I love the artwork that you do, especially like you said, of our Blessed Mother. I do think that there's an element that you bring to your art that helps us relate to her more and learn about, you know, the different titles. And I think a lot of people learn so much through your art as well. And also, yes, the beautiful scenes from the life of Christ. You have it feels like you were there and you were watching him interact with someone and, you know, you took a picture or you sketched it out. You just kind of get an image of that, which I just think is so wonderful and beautiful and very helpful, I think, for the rest of us.
Thank you.
And I encourage any of our listeners, if you have not heard of Valerie before, to go check out her artwork. And Valerie, if someone wants to follow along with your artwork, where can they find you online?
Yeah, so I have my website, which is PaxBeloved, PAXBeloved.com. And then people can also follow me on Instagram, which is Pax.Valerie.
Great. Well, I encourage our listeners to go and check out just these beautiful pieces of art that we're talking about. And Valerie, I've enjoyed our conversation so much, and I'd love to ask you a few more questions. Do you have time to stay with us through our break?
Yeah, I would love to.
And I am continuing my conversation this morning with Valerie Delgado. She is the artist behind the online shop Pax Valerie. Valerie, thanks so much for continuing with us. And we talked in earlier segment about how your art really, a lot of it really flows from your prayer. And one thing that I found so moving about your account is that you've drawn so many saints that maybe aren't as well known, or maybe we know about them, but we haven't seen a whole lot of artistic renderings of them. And I remember you even did a saints puzzle, which was so fun. Can you speak a little bit about your relationship with these saints and just how some of them have come to be in your artwork?
Yeah, I feel like through every season of my life, I've found myself having a saint squad, and it's not always the same. You know, it changes depending on what's going on in my life at the time. So I'm a cradle Catholic, but I would say I didn't really discover the faith until high school. And I remember I was preparing for confirmation and we had to pick a confirmation saint, and I knew nothing about the saints. I'm like, I have no idea who to pick. I don't even know what a saint is. I just don't know. And I remember my confirmation sponsor giving me this book with a bunch of different saints in it, and I'm reading and I'm like, I have zero connection with these holy men and women because I've just never really paid attention to them before. And so I
Sure.
ended up picking Saint Nicholas as
Okay.
my confirmation saint.
Nice.
It was either going to be Saint Nick or Saint Valentine. But
Hey,
I
you know, like the
probably,
holiday, they've got some good holidays for them.
exactly. I mean, and it's funny, at the time, I didn't even think of Saint Patrick. That would have been another great option for a confirmation saint for someone who didn't know anything about saints. But I picked Saint Nicholas, and I remember wanting to know him and just reading his story, hearing how he served and saved this family and their daughters, and just being really inspired by this man. That is what opened the door for me to really look into more holy men and women. And so, as I was graduating high school and started diving deeper into my faith, I quickly discovered what it means to have a saint squad. I remember talking to a friend, and she's like, yeah, Saint John Paul II, Mother Teresa, and Padre Pio. Like, those are my three favorite saints. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize we could have more than a confirmation saint be our favorite saints. Like, what? And so I really started just reading into first modern day saints because I feel like it was easy to be able to see this real life portrait and picture of these men and women that were canonized saints. But then going even farther down history and reading more and more about so many different people and so many different stories. So yeah, like with every season, it's a different saint squad. I'd say right now, Padre Pio has been kind of stalking me a little bit. I'm still kind of figuring out what that means for this year, but there are so many incredible stories of saints that lived extraordinary lives or really, really ordinary lives. And just reading how they chose to love Jesus in big ways and in very, very little ways. And it just makes it feel more, I guess, attainable that, you know, even though we're called to sainthood, it could really happen. If we just love God with our whole hearts and serve him in whatever way we can, using the gifts that he's given us, anything can happen. So I have a friend who she's written a book, Meg Hunter Kilmer.
Oh, she's fantastic.
She's amazing. And she has this amazing book on the saints that I've been reading. I'm not finished with it yet. I think it's called Pray for Us. And it's an incredible book of a bunch of different saints, blesseds, venerables, servant of gods from different countries. And it's just a short summary of their life and how they've said yes to serve God. And what I like about it is that it's divided in different sections of saints who lived really extraordinary lives, saints who had trouble with their families, saints who lived really boring lives. And it's like reading all of these different saints and these in their different lives, and it's like, wow, there really is a saint for
Everything.
everything. And yet we're still called to be a saint for even more things. Like, who knows? So,
Oh,
yeah.
that's wonderful. And I think a lot of people can relate to, first of all, not knowing much about the saints, especially when it comes to confirmation. I think that's a very common experience. But also, yeah, just feeling at first, how do I relate to these people? And oh, they're so holy and I'm not. But you're right. As you learn more about their lives, you realize just how much we do share with them and that they want us to also get to heaven too. And so I think your art is a way that is helping bringing more people into those friendships with those saints. This is kind of on a practical level, but you use a lot of different styles. I've noticed you have kind of like a print or a watercolor, and some are more like a pencil, some are graphics. I've even seen some, I think, some chalkboard drawings, yeah. which I thought were fun. Yeah. How do you usually create your art? Is it physical materials? Is it digital? Is it a mix?
Yeah. So when I started as an artist, it was with acrylic paint, and I dabbled a little bit in watercolor also. But in 2018, I really wanted to learn how to do digital art. I had a tablet, I had an Apple Pencil, and I wanted to learn. I had seen a couple of artists online mm-hmm. do digital art, and I'm like, wow, like that would be really cool, because I feel like the possibilities are endless and you can take it with you anywhere mm-hmm. and it's not messy and mm-hmm. there's an undo button, like yeah. mess up or something. So in 2018, that's when I decided to try to teach myself digital art. It was definitely a learning curve at first. I'm like, I don't like this. This mm. is going to be terrible. And there's no way I'm going to ever be good enough to draw faces, mm. be really detailed. And I do remember telling myself that very clearly. And then I look back now, years later, every piece of artwork that I do now includes a face showing mm-hmm. emotions and mm-hmm. expressions. And it's just funny to think how there was a time where I thought, there's no way, because I'm a self-taught artist, mm-hmm. you know, I learned through the school of YouTube and just trying things out. But yeah, so wow. digital art is how I mostly do my artwork. Mm-hmm. I like it because I can pick a watercolor brush or pick mm-hmm. an acrylic brush or a sketch or charcoal. But it's all on my iPad. Mm-hmm. Other than the chalk art. The chalk art is, it's just chalk and it's a chalk wall. And that's a weird thing that I really love. Like, I love drawing with chalk on a chalkboard.
I do too. There's something yeah. really satisfying about it when you get it right. Yeah. It just looks so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love erasing it at the end and then just starting over. Mm. Like, I like that it's a piece that exists in one moment in time, and then you remove it, and then you just move on to something else.
I have never thought that deeply about it, but I really like that. That's great. Well, Valerie, many of our listeners are familiar with your art because it's been featured in the multimedia videos and in the journals for the Prepare Your Heart, the Adore, the Restore, all those different journals. So we've actually featured all of those on our app. And right now people can follow along with the Made for Heaven series. What has this current series been like for you to create and be part of?
Yeah, honestly, like this has been one of my most favorite collaborations and series that I've worked on. What I love working with Ave Maria Press is their design person. Her name's Brianna. She is so talented and she had a vision of what she wanted for the book. Mm. And so she just gave me a little summary of what they were looking for, and I got to just run with it. So when she said they wanted an image of the woman at the well, mm-hmm. like I got to really bring that story to prayer, and I start sketching it one way, it ends up a completely different way. And
right.
It's like a total Holy Spirit moment of yeah. like, that's how it was supposed to be. And same with Jesus being tempted in the desert. Mm-hmm. There are times where I'll start on a piece not knowing at all where I want it to go. Mm-hmm. But as I'm going through the process, which is my favorite part, the process, it's just really fun to see how it is revealed mm-hmm. By the end of it. So just a lot of prayer, a lot of just taking my time and trusting the other people that are in this project with me, remembering that it's not just about me and what I think something should look like, but sure. just really trusting the vision that Father Agostino has, the vision that Ave Maria has, mm-hmm. and then being able to mesh it all together to make this beautiful, powerful book.
That's when I think the Lord can do the most through us, is when we're really cooperating with the Holy Spirit and with each other, and the Holy Spirit's working in them too. And I can tell that that is the case with this one, especially. I really have found very powerful. So thank you for sharing, you know, your gift with us in this specific project for Lent, but also all of your gifts to us as a church and as we're all journeying toward heaven together. And thank you so much for your time today. And it's just been a real pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Likewise, it's been wonderful.